You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday, April 29th, 2024. The Scrapple Dance streaming at RadioAlbion.com. Starting off your work week. And as always, I start off reminding you of our Sven Longshank support links here on the Daily Nationalist page. We'll continue to encourage you. I thank all of you who've taken the time to drop him a postcard, a letter, or perhaps an email. It does mean a whole lot for him. I'm glad you could join us today. I've got a couple of stories we're going to get into. And I think I can tie these stories together under a common theme. Both these stories come from RT. And the first one is headlined, U.S. to build new doomsday plane. The U.S. will develop a new doomsday plane intended to allow the president to continue leading the country in case of a nuclear war or other major disaster that destroys command and control centers on the ground, the Air Force has announced. Now, one of the things about this, and it doesn't really have to do with the general theme of what we're discussing today, but I have to point this out. They're talking about proposing to build a doomsday plane. And it's a doomsday, a theoretical doomsday that they themselves insist on bringing about. They're the ones that keep going around instigating all of these wars all over the world. They bring this about, and their answer is, we're going to build a doomsday plane so the president can lead the country. If there's a nuclear war or other major disaster. The implication, though, is if he's having to fly around in the doomsday plane, then what's everybody else doing? You know, you're supposed to go, oh, this is a great idea, and not think about, wait a minute, I ain't going to be on the doomsday plane. Who's going to be on the doomsday plane? It's like all of these rich people who support so many destructive policies, and then they're out there buying places and building these huge underground bunkers. But you ain't going to be in the bunker. The rest of us, we're just going to get to die. Add to this the fact that these people support a depopulation program. Doesn't really seem like they have our best interest in mind. A $13 billion contract for the Survivable Airborne Operations Center, SAOC. Project has been awarded to Sierra Nevada Corp, a U.S. Air Force spokesperson announced in a statement on Friday. Does anybody believe that it'll actually only... This is one plane, by the way. Not for like a project. Like this is a $13 billion to design and build a new fleet of fighter aircraft like the F-35. If this thing actually were to be built, and it was on the same level of success as the F-35, then the doomsday will actually be on the plane. because by the time they load it up, they keep adding stuff it would have to have. Does anybody believe that this thing would actually wind up costing $13 billion, which is a ridiculous price tag for one single aircraft? It's a ridiculous price tag when you think about it for one aircraft. And yet, does anybody really believe that they'll come in at or under budget? Of course not. Of course, it'll wind up running over. It'll probably cost twice that much. And at the end of the day, probably won't even work. We're going to skip down a little bit. According to the spokesman, the SAOC will be based on a commercial derivative jet, which would be hardened and modified to meet the standards of the Pentagon. The development of this critical national security weapon system ensures the department's nuclear command, control, and communications capability is operationally relevant and secure for decades to come, the statement said. So they're going to spend $13 billion, and they're not even designing this thing from the ground up. They're going to take an existing commercial jet. They're going to take an existing commercial jet and modify it. They're not starting from scratch. They're taking the plane is art, the platform already exists, and they're going to spend $13 billion on something that already exists to make that happen. Now, this if it's that, 737 MAX, I hope it's a Boeing plane. Because if it's a 737 MAX, think about that for a minute. It is going to be a doomsday plane for sure, not in the way they're advertising it. And here kind of brings us to the overarching point, I think, of today's show, the theme I thought we'd get into today's show. People will tell you, you know, and you'll read many an article, and they will talk about how the U.S. is a primal military force on the world, has the most powerful military on the face of the planet. The U.S. military is the cream de la cream. And you'll get into a lot of times with like older people, and they'll argue this, and they'll point and they'll say, look at Russia, and look at China, or look at Iran, or whoever. They don't even have a navy. Now, these same people can't tell you what the exact point of this navy that the U.S. has is. I mean, yeah, they can go over and use it to like project power on countries that can't fight back. I always laugh because we have these carriers, they spend all of this money on these carrier groups. And I always tell people when they bring up the Navy, they always like to point that out. We have the biggest and most powerful Navy on the face of the planet, buddy. We're able to float the screaming eagle. You see, the eagle can only fly so far to bring freedom and democracy and our values of who we are. We got to put the nest, the eagle's nest, into a carrier group. And they always release these pictures, you know, of the mighty U.S. carrier. The U.S. carrier task force is en route to some little pissant country where the people are living on one bowl of rice a day. And now to put these big aerial photographs, and there it is, a mighty aircraft carrier and its escort ships, and they're sailing to bring the freedom. It's the eagle's nest. The eagle's nest is making its way. Here comes the eagle, buddy. And when the eagle gets close enough, you know what's going to happen. It's going to be screaming. That screaming eagle is going to take to the air, and it's going to bring tons of freedom and democracy from the sky. I always tell people when they bring up the Navy, I said, yes, these carrier task force, if the Japanese get uppity and decide to attack again, we're ready this time. If World War II breaks out in the Pacific once again, we're ready. We're ready this time. They're not going to catch us by surprise. The carrier groups will be out there ready to fight World War II with the Japanese all over again. One of the things that has really been destructive for the narrative about the Ukraine conflict that gets missed by most of the people talking about it, not here on Radio Albion. You'll hear it here, not just from myself, but from people who are real experts like Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. But one of the things that gets missed in 90%+ of people that talk about the Ukraine conflict is one of the things that is done that is destructive to the narrative is really highlighted the point that the U.S., the military-industrial complex, is not designed to be effective. It's not designed to win wars. This is also made evident. This was one of the points put on with Iran's retaliatory strike on Israel. So many people missed the point of that, and they don't understand. They lap up the media narratives. Well, they didn't really even do that much damage. Well, it's ridiculous. The Iranians gave them all of this warning of what they were going to do, and they don't stop and think, well, why is that? And what did Iran accomplish with this? And the media will hand wave it off. I'm sitting here in a silly manner, waving my hand as if you can see it. They will wave this off and say, well, they're just doing it to save face. Like they're so terrified, they don't want to do anything. But see, they have to do something. They have to put on a show for the people. For the people in their country, they have to put on a show. Now, these are the same people that will tell you Iran is an authoritarian regime who oppresses their people, makes them wear hijab. But then they'll turn around and say, well, the only reason they did this is they had to save face. Which is it? If they're an ultimate authoritarian regime who's oppressing their people, they're not really, they wouldn't really be worried about, you know, saving face in front of their people. Now, would they? No. The point they made, and it connects to the point that so many people miss about the Ukraine conflict. What has been highlighted is these Western weapons, this product of the military-industrial complex, is overrated junk. I'll say it. It's overrated. I'm not saying it doesn't work at all. And I hate it when people do that shit, you know? Like, you make a point and somebody will take this extreme, you know, oh, you're saying none of it works at all. Oh, well, that's stupid. Look here. Here, it worked pretty good, didn't it? It's not what I'm saying. You always know when people put words in your mouth. You know, when you make a point that's factually true, no matter what the topic is, and somebody will sit there and counter with saying that, basically alleging that you've just said something extreme to the other side that you didn't say at all. Nobody's saying this stuff doesn't work at all. But what is evident is it's overpriced junk that doesn't do nearly what they claim it does. Some estimates I saw that defending the Iranian strike, the Iranians spent somewhere around $30 million on drones and missiles, which for a nation is like nothing. On a national level, Iran had that in the cushions of their couch, so as to speak. And the U.S. and Israel, well, which just means the U.S. Israel's just, when Israel spends money, they're just spending the U.S.'s money. So it's all the U.S. spent over $1 billion defending it. You see, that's the point. You see, and people will act like, oh, it's government inefficiency. You see, this is just, see, the government is so inefficient. These cost overruns. And it never dawns on them, this is a feature. It's not a bug. The U.S. military might is based very much on a bluff. You see, they build these weapons to intentionally be expensive, not to win wars. That's not the point. The point is not to win the war. The idea is, well, you know, everybody's always going to be afraid of us, so we don't have to worry about winning. The idea is for these things to be very expensive. You know, this is the point. People talk about how Ukraine itself is this big money laundering operation, and this is true. You know, this money gets sent, it gets passed around, a certain percentage of it, no doubt gets recycled back to the politicians that vote for the money. I read a deal the other day that after that vote, the latest vote for more money, billions to Ukraine, these Congress people were celebrating in Congress and waving around Ukraine flags. They weren't celebrating because they love Zelensky. They're celebrating because they're fixing to get paid and they know it. They openly talk about it and you say, oh, that's just conspiracy theory, you kook. And yet they themselves, out of their own mouths, tell you, what do they say? This is money well spent. All the people that try to sell this to the public, they say, oh, this is money well spent because this money is going to come back into American jobs. In other words, they tell you that money is going to go to the military-industrial complex. They will also tell you, if you're willing to read the fine print. You know, it's like those commercials, you know, for like pharmaceuticals. And they'll sit there and, you know, talk about how this latest drug is going to make your life wonderful. And then you get to the end and it's like certain side effects could include possible bleeding, hemorrhage out your anus, death. You could get warts. You could get boils. It could cause suicidal thoughts, possibly cause you to. And they say that real fast. It's verbal fine print. If you look at the fine print, they will tell you. They say, well, we're going to supply all of this. It's going to pay for the Ukraine. is going to come back to America in the form of jobs, because it's going to go to the military industrial complex and there's people building this stuff. And then you get to the fine print and they'll say, well, actually, it will take up to 5 years to actually produce any of this. And in 5 years, no one will remember and no one will ask, where did the money go? Everything in the U.S. works this way. All of my life, how many times have I heard we're spending this much money on education? But nobody ever knows where the money goes. How many different times have they said we're spending $1 trillion on infrastructure and we have the worst infrastructure in the supposedly developed world? Where does the money go? Nobody seems to know. They might do a project here or there, smear some pavement on an already built road. But you don't get new roads. When's the last time they built a new road? I can tell you here in Texas, they don't. The only time we get new roads is their toll roads. You see, they have these quasi-private public things, you know, the toll authority. They'll build a new road and it's a toll road forever. Back in the day, if they built a toll road, it was a toll road and they collected the toll until it was paid for. And then it was a free road after that. And those days are gone. Now it's just a toll road forever. And they reap a profit. And that's the only way you get a new road. Everything in this country functions that way. Then you read about these ridiculously expensive government projects, be they military or otherwise. That's not a bug. That's the whole point. When you hear about, you know, the fighter project and the stupid thing is a death trap and nobody will fly it, that's the having it fly and be effective in combat is irrelevant. Again, the Ukraine thing has really highlighted this. They sent all their Wunderwaffen over here and it's supposed to, boy, this is going to be it. How many times have we heard that? We're sending fill in the blank weapons system and this is going to turn the tide, because these things, it doesn't matter that Ukraine doesn't have any competent people to operate any of this stuff. It doesn't matter. This stuff is so amazing that this one latest whiz-bang weapon system is going to turn the tide, and yet it doesn't. It winds up getting blown up by cheaper, crude, more primitive. Oftentimes they'll say there's more primitive weapon systems, even though they're not. They're just cheaper. They have to be backwards, you see, because they're cheaper. Now, this matters because people who will argue with you that the U.S. has the most powerful military, what do they always base it on? If you ask them, well, what do you base it on? You're going to get, at some point, you're going to get that chart that shows how much everybody spends. The U.S. spends multiple times more than anybody else on the planet. That's what it's based on. It has to be bigger. It has to be powerful and more powerful because it's this much more expensive. And therein is the lie. It's just more expensive. I was reading a deal talking about here while the other day, talking about these stupid electric vehicles that they're pushing on everybody that nobody wants. They're pushing these electric vehicles. Bear with me. It actually has something to do with what we're talking about. And the point was being made that the bottom part, you know, basically what they call the skate, the part that the electric vehicle is based on, the battery pack, the motors, we would normally, in traditional terms, refer to as the drivetrain. It's the same. It's the same on all of them. For all practical, I mean, there's only so many ways you can make a damn battery. It's the same. Now, you've got a company that, you know, your regular whoever automaker, Ford, GM, Hyundai, whatever the hell, are making these crappy electric cars. But then you turn around and they're all over, you know, overpriced, of course. But then you turn around, and you have a luxury brand like Mercedes, and they're trying to sell electric cars too for like twice the already too expensive price, because after all, you're buying a Mercedes. The problem is, at the end of the day, when you get to what makes the car go, there's no difference between the Mercedes and the Honda or the Ford or the GM. It's the same thing underneath. It's just more expensive. The U.S. military is simply just more expensive. They just operate on the bluff. But it is a bluff. And we're getting closer and closer every day to that bluff being called. Now, when you read around, we're going to go ahead and get into this second story, because you read around and they bid for these jobs. This is just competition. And these companies, you know, they're paying off politicians because they want to be the one that hits the payday. And it's humorous because sometimes they come up with these ridiculous ideas that, you know, a regular person such as myself can look at and laugh at because it's so observably impractical, stupid. Our next story is headlined, U.S. Considers Mobile Bases for Pacific War. An American military contractor wants to repurpose unused oil rigs as mobile bases that would help resupply U.S. Navy vessels in the Pacific and host missile launchers. Gibbs & Cox, a naval architecture subsidiary of Leidos, presented the Mobile Defense Depot Platform, MODEP. They always have to come up with an acronym. You know, MODEP. Concept at the Sea Air Space 2024 exhibit in Washington, D.C. earlier this month. Quoting, our target here is to find a solution to help the challenging problem of having capacity issues in the Western Pacific. For not enough sails, not enough missiles, not enough of being able to keep those ships in the forward position, David Zook, a solutions architect and combat system department manager at Gibbs & Cox, told Naval News. The MODEP concept refers to a large floating island base capable of positioning itself at an ideal distance from shore and independently operating for almost 6 months. It would be configured for either a supply function or missile launching. The U.S. Navy currently lacks the capability to reload its missile launchers at sea. The supply MODEP would solve this by having two cranes capable of lifting 100 tons each. The mobile base version would hold up to 512 vertical launch systems, missile cells, or up to 100 new large missile launchers. The concept also reduces risks and costs associated with land-based defense systems. Leidos and Gibbs & Cox also said Japan has considered using converted oil rigs as an alternative to its canceled Aegis Ashore missile defense program. Both variants could travel at a speed of 5 to 8 knots to cover 200 nautical miles a day and maintain stability even in waves of up to 60 feet tall. See, this is one of those stories where this is just so obviously they're pitching for a money pit. They are. And then they throw out general terms like, oh, this is going to be cost effective. And you know it's the military-industrial complex. It's not going to be cost-effective. So much money is going to get laundered through this. And the idea is so silly on its face that, again, just a regular person like you or me, we can look at this and automatically your brain processes, this is just a dumb idea. For starters, one has to start off with, oh, the reason the U.S. has a problem, what happened to that mighty Navy? What happened to that mighty Navy? They're saying the problem they have is, you know, China's on the other side of the planet, and for some reason our government insists on picking a war with them. So we've got to have a way to go over there and fight this war. Well, we have this umpteen, however, kajillion dollar Navy that they're so proud about. I thought that was the answer to that, but apparently it is not. Apparently, lo and behold, the part that is going unsaid on their part is these carrier task force are actually just for show. They're actually totally obsolete. if they were not, then why do they need to fix this problem of not being able to go to the other side of the planet and wage war? They have this Navy. Everybody should be trembling in fear. Now, this idea, this thing travel, they're going to drag these things. They're going to drag this thing. They're self-propelled. They're going to drag these things at 5 to 8 knots, this big floating target. Now, hypothetically, obviously, they're talking about using this to threaten China. They're going to be dragging this thing at a whopping 5 to 8 knots with tugboats or whatever the hell they're using to drag this. 5 knots to go threaten China. so they can set them up at the appropriate distance offshore. And what? Theoretically, China's just going to sit back? Maybe they'll call them up and say, hey, have you got there yet? China, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Like a little kid in the annoying back seat, because this thing's going 5 knots and it's got to go from the other side of the world to China. Everybody's going to know what's coming, but they're just going to sit back and let them set all of this up. It's silly on its face. You see, there's mobile island base. It's just some crap. They expect you to think everything is a Hollywood movie. You see, the mobile oil platform base, it's got missiles on it. We're going to put missiles. We're going to have all this defense system, and it's going to be able to resupply. It's going to have cranes. It's going to have 2 cranes. And it's going to be, if it ever came to pass, and it wouldn't, it would just cost a lot of money. And then they'd shrug and say, well, that didn't work out. But, you know, we tried. It would be a huge floating target. It's just laughable. If you start a fire on an oil platform, on an offshore oil rig, if you start a fire on that thing, everybody's got to get off, because you know what? Guess what? There ain't nowhere to go. It's going to burn. They're not talking about it just, and that's just a regular functioning oil platform. They're talking about making this oil platform and loading it up with tons of munitions and fuel, missiles. All you got to do, you could drop a fire. If one of the military people on board the mobile defense platform throws a cigarette down, it is going to light that thing off. You want to talk about easy to sink? All you got to do is land one missile on it and the whole thing. Fire one incendiary round through this thing. And it's going to just blow up in spectacular fashion. Who the hell would want to be stationed on that? You talk about a mobile death trap. I'm just a regular guy. I'm not super smart. And I can look at this and just immediately, just right off the top of my head, we can sit here and talk about all the obvious flaws in this apparent brilliant idea that they're pitching. They're pitching to the Pentagon. They're pitching to the government. Are you supposed to believe that everybody in the Pentagon, the government, are morons? Well, a lot of them probably are, actually, but you know, some aren't. You have to know that the people who are going to sign off on this are going to know it's a dumb idea. But does it matter? It's not an idea. None of these ideas are supposed to work. They're just supposed to be expensive. That's the point. All of these projects are just another version of the Ukraine. They dump billions in, and the money gets passed around. When they go over budget on one of these projects, and it's like, well, we're another $13 billion over budget. But we're still working hard on this. Nobody says, why are they over budget? Where did it go? And they always give you some vague thing. Cost overruns. Well, we've run into some cost overruns. That doesn't answer the question. Where the hell did the money go? If you had $10,000 in the bank and you're sitting at your job on your lunch break one day and you check your bank account and it's negative $200, you're going to go home and you're going to look at your old lady and say, where the hell's my bitch? Where's my money? You're going to be go home. You're going home in full-on pimp mode. You're going home. You're going to be like, bitch, where's my money? And you think she's going to, and imagine your wife looks at you and says, honey, I ran into some cost overruns. Like that answered your question. Where's my money? I ran into some cost overruns. That ain't going to cut it. You're going to be, no. You spent this on something. Where the hell is my money? But you see, that doesn't happen on a government defense project. We had cost overruns. I mean, we only thought this was going to cost $13 billion. It was going to be a cost-effective. Using a term like cost-effective on any government project is laughable on his face. Where'd the money go? We ran into cost overruns and, you've spent this much already. You don't want to just throw it away, do you? Your wife tells you she ran into cost overruns, won't tell you where the money went, and then she looks at you and says, this has already cost you $10,000. You better put some more money in the bank, baby, because otherwise that money's just wasted. Yes, let's float this large, incredibly slow-ass thing out in the ocean as a big-ass target to eventually set it up somewhere so that then after it's set up, and the setting up process is going to take a minute, and the whole thing will be one big, giant, floating, slow-ass bomb. And let's threaten China with it because they're going to sit there and let you do it. Otherwise, my gosh, they'd have to confront America. The idea is stupid on its face, and everybody knows they ain't going to do it. It's just designed to be expensive. That's the whole point. Like I said, all these projects are the Ukraine. The Ukraine is just a large version of it. Every single project of the military, from something ridiculous like this to the doomsday plane, to when they get a contract to supply bullets for the troops, however many billions of rounds of ammunition, and then they run out of ammunition. Nobody asks, where did the money go? You see, because it all work like this. It's all designed to just be expensive. That's it. It's only designed to be expensive. The troops are out there. The troops are out there practicing, and they're just going bang, bang with their rifles because they ain't got no bullets to practice with because that would be too expensive. But I thought we spent $250 billion on ammo for the troops. Well, we ran into some cost overruns. Now, again, this setup would maybe work to an extent, except they're going around threatening everybody with war. And these people are morons, and they might actually get their wish. If they were just working behind the scenes with these other countries, it'd be like, well, we ain't going to really do any of this. Y'all know we ain't going to really do any of this. We're just making money here, you know, and we'll pay you. But I don't think these people are that smart. I think they've drank their own Kool-Aid. I think they've bought into their own bullshit. And they think this is really somehow going to work. But at some point, the problem with bluffing, put it this way, the problem with constantly bluffing is that inevitably, at some point down the road, somebody's going to call your bluff. We'll wrap up on that note. I appreciate you joining us today. I hope you'll get a chance to check out. I'll be back to all our great content here on Radio Albion. I'll be back tomorrow with the Parish of the Patriots show. Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson will be on Wednesday with the Orthodox Nationalist. Dr. Johnson will be back Thursday with his always intriguing, geopolitically centered Daily Nationalist program. And I'll be back on Friday. I'm trying to keep it real with Funny Fridays. Hopefully we'll have a fun discussion on Friday. That's always the plan. Again, I thank you for joining us. Keep the faith, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion. Talk Radio for the nationalist community.